Welcome back to the News at Noon. The Richland Hospital and Clinics has officially been recognized for its excellence in cardiovascular care, receiving two prestigious American Heart Association Get With The Guidelines Achievement Awards. The institution earned the Rural Coronary Artery Disease NSTEMI ACS Gold and the Rural Coronary Artery Disease STEMI Silver Awards, highlighting its steadfast commitment to following the most current research-based protocols for treating heart disease. STEMI is a heart attack caused by a complete and prolonged blockage of a coronary artery. NSTEMI ACS is caused by a partial or temporary blockage. Heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States. By adhering to evidence-based treatment guidelines, Richland Hospital aims to improve patient outcomes, support faster recovery, and significantly reduce hospital readmissions. Heather Tomey, cardiac and stroke coordinator and registered nurse, emphasized that these programs allow clinical teams to put proven science into practice daily, ensuring that patients receive timely and effective care during critical cardiac events. Karen E. Joint Maddox, chair of the American Heart Association Quality Oversight Committee, noted that these awards reflect the hospital's dedication to its community. By following the association's quality improvement protocols, the hospital is advancing a shared vision of lower mortality rates and better health results for patients and their families. This recognition underscores Richland Hospital's role as a leader in providing high-quality rural cardiovascular care. A 41-year-old Iowa man was arrested for operating while intoxicated following a single-vehicle rollover crash on Highway 80 south of Livingston Saturday night. The incident occurred around 10:05 p.m. in Clifton Township when the driver, Joshua Domini of Bellevue, Iowa, lost control of his vehicle while heading southbound. Domini failed to navigate a curve, causing his vehicle to leave the east side of the roadway, where it rolled and struck a fence, a sign, and several trees. Emergency crews from Livingston and Montford, including the Livingston-Clifton Fire Department, responded to the scene, and Domini was subsequently transported to the Southwest Health Center by Montford EMS. The investigation into the crash remains ongoing, and authorities remind the public that individuals arrested for charges are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources emphasizes the importance of proper training, supervision, and safety gear for youth operating an ATV before allowing any young person to take the controls. It is essential to ensure they have the right foundation for a safe experience. This starts with education. Operators who are at least 12 years old and born on or after January 1st, 1988, must complete a DNR-approved safety education course and carry their certification while riding. Beyond formal education, parental supervision remains critical to keeping young riders safe. Lieutenant Jake Holzclaw, the Wisconsin DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, notes that parents should treat ATV and UTV safety with the same seriousness as operating a car or truck. He highlights that being present to guide a young operator can often be the deciding factor in preventing an accident, ensuring that every child returns home safely after a day on the trails. Richland County Sheriff Clay Porter was a recent guest here at WRCO. I asked him about local ATV traffic.
We don't deal with a ton of ATV, UTV crashes, right? They happen. Certainly has exploded across the state, but in Richland County as well. And what I would say, as far as the ATV and UTV crashes, they generally seem to be more severe, right? The injuries, there's a greater risk for injury, stuff like that. So I'm not saying that we necessarily see more of them or that they've just exploded in crashes, but the crashes seem to be more severe.
Well, and some of the information the DNR has been sharing on that, they don't say there have been a lot more crashes, but they're aware, basically what you just said, more significant injuries and fatalities in the crashes that happen. Mm-hmm. So I guess percentage basis, it's not a huge number that crash out there. Perception in some people's heads is that happens, but not really. But what the DNR has been stressing is that in most of the significant injuries or fatalities, inappropriate speed and or alcohol use was involved. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that?
Yes. And the other thing I think too is protective equipment, right? I think that's a big factor in what's coming in with these crashes is the use of protective equipment. And they recently adjusted the laws because the driver was the only person who was required to wear a seatbelt. And now they've adjusted those laws that everybody's required to wear a seatbelt. So they're just, I think they need to catch up on some of these laws to get it more in line with what regular vehicle traffic is.
In a decisive move to strengthen Wisconsin's healthcare future, Governor Tony Evers recently approved a transformative emergency rule designed to tackle the state's persistent nursing shortage. This initiative, born from the strategic insights of the governor's task force on the healthcare workforce, marks a significant shift in how nursing students are trained. By allowing experienced registered nurses who meet specific clinical criteria to step into the role of clinical instructors, the state is effectively expanding its educational capacity. This new pathway ensures that the wealth of practical knowledge held by Wisconsin's veteran nurses can be directly passed down to the next generation, removing long-standing academic barriers and ensuring that the healthcare system remains robust and prepared for the challenges ahead. On July 9th, the Wisconsin Elections Commission unanimously approved the absentee ballot return best practices for voters to help them understand when, where, and how to return an absentee ballot. Clerks were also issued this guidance. In the state of Wisconsin, the traditional absentee ballot system is designed to be accessible and straightforward. No special reason or excuse is required. Any registered voter can simply request their ballot and begin the process. Securing a ballot is the first step in the journey, and Wisconsin provides multiple avenues to do so. The most efficient method is through the myvote.wi.gov website, where a few digital steps trigger a notification to the local municipal clerk. Alternatively, voters can download an application and send it via mail, or even submit their request through email or fax. It's essential to remember that most requests must be accompanied by a copy of a valid photo ID, and all applications must reach the clerk by 5 p.m. on the Thursday before the election to ensure there is ample time for the ballot to be received, completed, and returned. Officials recommend making these requests as soon as possible. Once the ballot is in hand and the choices are made, the focus shifts to a timely return. Voters can choose to send their completed ballots through the mail, hand deliver them directly to their municipal clerk's office, or utilize a secure drop box where available. While the mail is a convenient option, transit times can vary significantly. To avoid the risk of a ballot arriving after the 8 p.m. election day deadline, at which point it can no longer be counted, the Wisconsin Elections Commission suggests mailing it at least 10 days in advance. It is important to note that unlike some other states, Wisconsin does not rely on postmarks. The physical arrival of the ballot before the polls close is what truly matters. For those who find themselves nearing the deadline, hand delivery offers a more immediate solution. Ballots can be brought to the clerk's office prior to the election or taken directly to a central counting facility on the day of the vote. Drop boxes also serve as a vital resource, though their availability and hours are determined by each specific municipality. Regardless of the chosen method, voters should be aware that they must return their own ballot unless they are providing necessary assistance to a person with a disability. By following these best practices, Wisconsin voters can ensure their participation is seamless and their ballots are counted with certainty. The Richland County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to meet for its regular monthly session Tuesday, July 21st at 6 p.m. The meeting takes place in the county boardroom on the third floor of the Richland County Courthouse. One of the primary items of business involves a resolution to create a specialized committee tasked with assisting in the formation of an emergency medical services EMS district. This initiative follows ongoing discussions regarding regional emergency response medical systems and efforts to ensure sustainable coverage for the area. In addition to public safety infrastructure, the board will consider a resolution to officially change the name of the Public Safety Standing Committee. Administrative updates are also central to the meeting, with supervisors set to vote on the creation of a new economic support lead position. The board is further tasked with confirming several key appointments, including a new ambulance service director and appointments for county supervisory districts and various boards and commissions. These leadership roles are vital for maintaining the continuity of county operations and public services. Legislative actions regarding county property and financial grants round out the agenda. Supervisors will review a resolution to transfer land and water conservation fund grants and property to the Richland School District. Other resolutions concern the 2026 computer and hazmat equipment grant, repairs to the Tri-County Airport roof, and the cancellation of stale tax certificates and county checks. Finally, the board will deliberate on several ordinances related to specific land parcels throughout the county, including parcels in the towns of Buena Vista, Ithaca, and Orion. This meeting is open to the public. Students in grades 6, 7, and 8 are invited to explore the world of healthcare at Club Scrub 2026, a unique free event hosted by the Richland Hospital and Clinics. This hands-on learning experience offers attendees a real-life look at various medical professions, including doctors, pharmacists, nurses, technicians, and therapists. During the session, students will have the opportunity to work alongside healthcare professionals, ask questions, and try out specific skills for themselves. The event will take place Thursday, August 13th, from 3 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. As space is limited, those interested should act quickly. The registration deadline is Friday, July 24th. For a registration form, please contact Sarah Stibbe at 608-647-1883. Sunday's winners of $200 in the Muscadet Avoca Blue River Lions Club 2026 calendar raffle drawings. Tracy Hoffman of Adams, ticket number 0503, and Kevin Merck of Kimberly on ticket number 0397. Congratulations to both of them. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin have surged, rising 12.2 cents per gallon in the past week to reach an average of $3.78 per gallon. This shift reflects a broader trend, with Wisconsin prices now 5.8 cents higher than 1 month ago and 86.4 cents higher than they were a year ago. Disparities in local pricing remain significant, as recent reports show a gap of $1.44 per gallon between the cheapest station at $3.35 and the most expensive at $4.79. On a national level, the average gasoline price has climbed 13 cents in the last week, settling at $3.95 per gallon. This national average is 6.5 cents higher than last month, 85.7 cents higher than last year. Meanwhile, the national average price for diesel saw a decrease, falling 22.3 cents from last week to reach $5.08 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, notes that gasoline and diesel prices have risen across nearly every state for two consecutive weeks. He warns that the national average for gasoline is expected to reach $4 per gallon within 48 hours, while diesel is already above $5 nationally. With oil nearing $85 per barrel, analysts suggest motorists should prepare for continued price volatility in the coming days. The Plain Fire and EMS three-day celebration will be held this Friday through Sunday at Plain Community Park. Featured at the event will be live music by Best Practice on Friday, starting at 7 p.m. Saturday at 10 o'clock will be the Travis Sinichka Memorial Volleyball Tournament. A beanbag tournament gets underway at 1 o'clock, and Road Crew will perform beginning at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, there will be a circus parade at 11, and a chicken barbecue will be served starting at noon. At 1 o'clock, Leather and Lace will take the stage, and a children's pedal pole will be held. All weekend, there will be softball tournaments, carnival rides, inflatables, food, cold beverages, and more. Please, no carry-ins. The Plain Fire and EMS three-day celebration this Friday through Sunday. The upcoming murder mystery weekend titled Blood in the Dust is set to be an exciting event where everyone is a suspect. The mystery unfolds August 22nd and 23rd, with the investigation beginning at 10 a.m. each day. Participants can register for $10 at the Depot and Information Center. Every paid entry comes with a ballot, giving you a chance to win various prizes as you solve the crime. Aspiring actors and mystery enthusiasts are invited to tryouts on Tuesday, July 21st at 4 p.m. These will be held at the Brewer Public Library in Richland Center. If you have any questions or need further details about the event or the tryouts, please contact the organizers at 608-647-8163. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is issuing a warning regarding a multi-state fraud scheme that targets injured workers. Fraudsters are tricking individuals into participating in fake workers' compensation hearings, convincing them that they've been awarded money, while requiring them to pay fees to finalize their cases. These scams often target Spanish-speaking individuals and utilize fake agencies operating under names like the Workers' Compensation Board, frequently using email addresses from .org domains such as workcompcourt.org. The scheme involves instructing victims to join online workers' compensation hearings via platforms like WhatsApp, Zoom, or Teams, creating the illusion of a legitimate legal proceeding that includes a judge, bailiff, and attorneys. The Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Division clarifies that all hearings are scheduled exclusively through written letters, and all attorneys involved in these cases must be licensed to practice law in Wisconsin. Furthermore, official correspondence from the DWD will always feature Wisconsin area codes. Any individuals receiving suspicious communication are encouraged to contact a workers' compensation specialist at 608-266-1340. Additional information on recognizing and reporting fraudulent activities is available at dwd.wisconsin.gov. The ACLU of Wisconsin filed a brief last Friday at the Western District of Wisconsin concerning a case in which a parent-led organization, New Richmond Parents for Strong Schools, are trying to push the New Richmond School District to adopt a policy that would force transgender students to use bathrooms that are not consistent with their gender identities. We know that transgender students face physical, mental, and social consequences when they are forced to use bathrooms that do not align with their gender identity, said Jade Hall, staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin. Schools have a duty to ensure that all students can learn in a welcoming and harassment-free environment, including transgender students who are especially vulnerable to harassment and discrimination. In the brief filed on behalf of LGBTQ student advocacy organization GSAFE, the ACLU says that transgender and non-binary teenagers face a higher risk of being sexually assaulted when they're forced to use bathrooms that are not consistent with their gender identity. Two previous decisions decided by the Seventh Circuit in cases arising in other states have allowed transgender students to use the restroom consistent with their gender identity, and the ACLU argues that the court should uphold those decisions. Fairness and justice require the Western District to allow transgender students to continue using the bathrooms that align with their gender identity, Hall said. Transgender students are greatly harmed by policies that restrict their bathroom choice, and non-transgender students are not harmed by policies that allow transgender students to use bathrooms aligning with their gender identity. As evidenced by the district's open board meetings, transgender youth already face higher rates of bullying, harassment, detachment, and violence than their cisgender peers. Discriminatory policies make schools less safe, not more. For more information, contact ACLU of Wisconsin Communications Director David Gwitt at dgwidt@aclu-wi.org. Broadcasters from 31 states recently convened on Capitol Hill to press Congress for final passage of the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. According to Inside Radio, the delegation, which included state broadcast association leaders and public safety representatives, met with lawmakers to argue that AM radio remains a vital, life-saving tool during disasters. NAB President and CEO Curtis Legate stated that Congress has everything it needs to act and emphasized that it is time to finish the job and send the legislation to the president's desk. The bill has garnered significant bipartisan support, with more than 300 co-sponsors in the House, with the legislative calendar tightening ahead of the 2026 midterms. Supporters are urging a final vote on the measure, which would require passenger vehicles sold in the United States to include AM radio access. As the debate continues, broadcasters remain focused on securing a future for the medium that provides essential local information when other communication systems fail. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released the results of this year's Operation Dry Water campaign, which took place over the holiday weekend of July 3rd through July 5th. This national initiative aims to reduce alcohol and drug-related boating incidents through increased education and enforcement. During the weekend, DNR wardens contacted more than 1,700 boats to promote safe boating practices. These enforcement efforts led to the apprehension of 25 impaired boat operators, along with the issuance of nearly 900 warnings and over 200 citations for various safety violations. The campaign highlighted the critical role of DNR wardens in maintaining waterway safety. On the night of July 4th, Warden Tim Price saved a life on the Eagle River chain after discovering an intoxicated individual who had fallen from a pontoon boat and was sinking without a life jacket. In another incident on Lake Wisconsin, Captain Tyler Strelow and Warden Nick Engelhart arrested an intoxicated man who was yelling at wardens before attempting to operate a personal watercraft toward them. Beyond boating enforcement, wardens also provided assistance during severe weather incidents. Following storms in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, wardens Mike Hirschbach and Taylor Meinholz supported the Racine County Sheriff's Department with welfare checks and managing downed power lines. Additionally, Warden Brandon Smith, Lieutenant Jen Burrow-Niemeyer, and Community Service Officer Jared Minert assisted staff at the Richard Bong State Recreation Area with storm response, including road closures and camper welfare checks. Those interested in learning more about boating regulations and education courses can visit the DNR's boating webpage, while further information on the Operation Dry Water campaign is available on its official website. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office has taken a Cuba City man into custody following a sequence of events that began with a motor vehicle accident and concluded with trespassing and impaired driving charges. The Iowa County Communications Center initially received a report of an individual trespassing in the 1700 block of County Road I, located within the town of Highland. Upon arriving at the scene, deputies conducted an assessment and determined that the incident originated as a motor vehicle crash. The site of the collision was identified in close proximity to where the male subject was discovered by authorities.